want to be purposeful with our stories. It's your job to make them relevant. Please hear me when I say that. You have to tell stories that are relevant. Don't be a bore.
You're listening to the Audible Ready podcast, the show that helps you and your teams sell more faster. It's brought to you by the team at Force Management, a leader in B2B sales effectiveness. This show features sales leaders sharing their best insights on how to create a sales engine that helps you fuel repeatable revenue growth. Let's get started.
Hello, and welcome to the Audible Ready Sales Podcast. I'm Rachel Kleppmiller. Thank you for continuing to listen to this podcast. We're so happy you're here. And today joining me is John Kaplan. Hi, John.
Hi, Rachel. How are you?
Good, good. I know this is, I would say, John, a topic you excel at. I know you excel at all of them, but I think this is particularly your sweet spot, and that is storytelling. How it can help us as sellers. We all tell stories, whether we're thinking about it or not. But in sales, if you're purposeful about those stories, they can be a real asset. John, we know you love a good story.
Yeah, I think storytelling can be very powerful when used appropriately. I think our brains are hardwired to process information through stories, so you can easily take information away from them. The research says we make decisions based on emotion and justify on logic. And that's why stories really matter. And I think that information gets prioritized for recall more efficiently when it's attached to emotion. So that's why you'll hear me say a lot that you need to get your buyer emotionally connected to solving the problem. That's actually what I mean by that, is that when you get somebody emotionally connected to something, they get more attached to the information that was shared. They have better recall. It creates urgency. So stories can really do that well.
Right. It makes them feel it, right? And in sales, the easiest place to do that often is with those proof points, those customer testimonials. It's easy to rattle off those bullets of measurable results. And we love those bullets. Don't get me wrong. But here, when we're talking about storytelling and using those measurable results, you need to understand the story behind those proof points.
I think that proof points is a great place to begin this conversation. Proof points should be great stories, not logo slides. I always encourage people to don't share a brand name with me. Share the story that behind the logo. And I think it's really, really important. Tell me what the problem was. Tell me how big of a problem it was. What were the negative consequences? Tell me how you solved the problem with your solutions, and how did you do it better than others, and what were the results? And I think any great proof point, which is a great story of success, you need to always be prepared to have that real participant available to validate the story. So I think when you have a mindset that says, okay, if I have a logo, if I have a success story that I want to talk about, I need to make it relevant. It's your job as the communicator. You own that as the seller. You own the responsibility to make it relevant, to make it real, to make it personable. Don't just read logos off a slide.
Yeah, and that you mentioned finding the person responsible for that story. And that could be as simply as asking your manager who was involved in that deal. And it might not be a fellow salesperson. It could be product. It could be customer success. But like, who knows the story behind the story, so to speak, at this X account?
It's a really, really good point. And there's an old saying, Rachel, that says, you know, and you'll run into this, for every great success story, there's a 100 parents of that story. So it's the people that are kind of claiming that they're a part of that story. And for the lost deals, you know, every lost deal is an orphan. So your point is really well taken. There are always people inside the company, even if the seller's no longer there or what have you, there's always people. And the best proof points are the ones that talk about the solution to the problem. So They should have the product people, the marketing people should understand it. The delivery people should understand it. So yeah, I think it's great advice is to just go backtrack and find out who was involved in that. And don't get caught up by, you know, oh, that seller's no longer here. It really doesn't matter, because the success of what your company did is probably greater than just the knowledge that the seller had of the opportunity. So encourage yourself to go find the story and don't get hung up if somebody says, oh, yeah, that seller's no longer here. It's not really as relevant as you might think.
Right, right. It takes a village to implement and get these results. So go find the village. People are still there. Yeah. So when it comes to these stories, I mentioned at the top, a lot of it comes natural to many of us. That's why we're great salespeople. But learning the nuances and getting the information from other people, how do you prep with these stories? Do you practice them? Do you prepare them? What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, like everything that we do in life, everything we talk about on the Audible Ready Sales podcast, it's the basic premise of Audible Ready. It's about being prepared and being ready. And stories are no different than that. So regardless of what you're trying to do is, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in a bit, is regardless of what you're using the story for, you need to be prepared. And I think a great way to really prepare is to think about how to help the customer stand in the story. Your job should be to anybody that's a part of a story, if somebody's telling you a story, when the storyteller has the ability to put you in the story, to bring you into the story, it's always so much more powerful. And that takes practice. So I say to myself before I'm going to tell a story or what have you, if I think about what's going on for this customer, what's their problem, who else had a problem like this, how might this problem be relevant for this individual? You need to help the customer stand in the story. So you have to make it relevant. And always ask yourself before you tell a story, why am I telling this story? And I always ask that little vision of somebody on my shoulder that is asking me, so what? So what? And ask yourself, so what? So why am I telling this story? And the reason why, and the natural thing is then to go, the reason why I'm telling you this, Mr. and Mrs. Customer, is because you said, and I practice that. So I think to myself, I'd like to tell this story. I think the customer might have this objection or what have you. And I say to myself while I'm practicing that is I always think about I'm standing in the moment of the customer situation, and if they're asking themselves, what does the story have to do with this situation? I just assume that's what they're thinking. And a lot of times you'll hear me say, Rachel, the reason why I'm telling you this story, Mr. and Mrs. Customer, is because you said, or you shared with me, or this situation reminds me of. And I just want to encourage you, always, always bring the person that you're speaking to, bring them into your story. It's very, very important. And that takes preparation.
Yeah, that's such a good point, because we can't take for granted that they're going to get the conclusions that we want them to get from our stories, right? So using that, hey, the reason I'm telling you this story, that's a good cue, a good reminder for us all when we're having those conversations. And the other thing too that came up for me as you were talking, John, I mean, the beauty of these virtual calls that we're doing now, you could have post-it notes everywhere that trigger you to remember certain things. So maybe it's a post-it note that says, so what, to make you remember to make it relevant to the customer. But then also maybe you write, I've done this before myself, maybe you write like three bullets. So when you get into that story, you can look at those three bullets and be like, make sure you hit these three points as you get into all your emotional flair that we like to do. Wait, well, at least I like to do, right? When I'm telling stories.
You're talking about preparation. I think that just, you know, what are the three main points of the story, and how are you going to make it relevant for the customer by writing so what? Why? I think all of that, I think so many people just shoot from the hip when they, oh, I'm a good storyteller. And you say that about me. You say, well, John, you're gifted with the ability to tell a story or what. I don't take that lightly, because the flip side of that, Rachel, is unprepared stories can be boorish. And if you just keep telling the same stories, so we all know those people that communicate that way. They just communicate through telling stories that, you know, if you're struggling to figure out the relevance, you have to consider why you're telling that story and who you're telling the story to. I know this all sounds like just common sense, but we've all been on the other end of it. We've all been, you know, rolling our eyes mentally a little bit about like, where is this story going? Or why is this person telling me the story? Or what do they want me to know about the story? Or I've heard the story a million times. You don't want to be that person.
Right.
So it takes preparation.
Yeah, they can work in against you.
Yes.
And we talk about the proof points, right? That's the obvious one. And with stories that share those proof points, we obviously tell them because we want to show how our solution drives success. We want the customer to stand in that moment, get into the after scenario, see what's possible, et cetera, et cetera. But stories can also help you show empathy, particularly when you're talking about challenges maybe the prospect is experiencing.
I think this topic's actually my favorite part of storytelling is to not be afraid to be vulnerable in the story. And I call this kind of the good, bad, and the ugly. I actually find that the most powerful scenarios are where I encourage the buyer to share their own story. Your job as a seller, like we talked about, is to get them emotionally connected to solving the problem, to get them to stand in the moment of their pain. And this is an elite skill. And you have to do it by things you've heard us talk about, like open-ended questions or open-ended sentences. Tell me about, explain for me, describe for me. Please share with me a time that, you know, that you received unfavorable feedback from one of the lines of businesses, and how did the department respond, and how was that response? What was the satisfaction level? Now, I'm assuming that there are negative implications to their story. There are pain points. And the way you get people to open up is to allow them to tell their own story. So I know we switch gears a little bit on from being a storyteller to also helping people share their story. And I think it's a great, great skill set. And sometimes what we do in order to help somebody feel comfortable is we share our own vulnerability in our own stories. Let me give you an example of where that was difficult for me, you know, in a sales campaign or with a customer. And because we didn't talk about this, this is where we got into a jam. Share with me some examples where you've seen that happen so you and I can avoid that together, what have you. So I do that a lot. I not only share my story or my perspective, but many times I'm doing it to get them to open up to share theirs. And so if you're not showing vulnerability in your story, you shouldn't expect them to share vulnerability. That's just kind of how human behavior works. So I think it's a really, really powerful point.
I love that. Before we go into our bottom line, John, I wanted to also talk about, well, let me back up. We're talking about testimonial stories a lot, showing empathy, talking about your results. But I challenge everyone listening to think about how you can use stories in other parts of the sales process, because they can be just as effective. I heard a good example the other day when someone actually had a story from a previous customer who had pushed for a demo too quick. And they ended up having to waste more time in meetings because the demo wasn't effective. They had to do multiple demos. So guess what the salesperson did? They used that story the next time they had a new customer pushing for a demo.
Yeah, I love that because that's an example of using your own vulnerability and your own experiences that didn't provide really good outcomes for you or a customer. And you're sharing that in a story, in a way to make it relevant to what you and the customer maybe are about to experience. So I love that. Instead of getting into we don't see that as good process and we don't do that. We're not allowed to do this or that. Let me give you an example of where this didn't work in my favor. And I just think that little nuance of sharing that story is really, really powerful and gets people to open up. So I think that stories should be used to share experiences and create emotions that's needed throughout the whole sales process. So I think you should really be prepared to look for common areas of objection or sticking points. Force management, we have some things that come up in our terms and conditions all the time. And instead of just telling people this is the way it is, or we have these terms and conditions and take objection to them or what have you, be prepared with stories that will help you and the customer overcome these areas. I just think it just makes it so much more real and authentic. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a great way to think about it. So for the people listening, map out your sales process. Think about where you are met with common objections and determine if there's some stories that you can use to help your customers over certain sticking points. That's a great point, John. All right, let's wrap it up.
Before we wrap up, yeah. I just want to give you a little experience that PTC years ago, they had these things called ho-hum crashers. And I think what it meant was where the customer's kind of like ho-hum and, you know, ho-hum, like, you know, almost on the edge of boredom or what have you. And a way to generate enthusiasm and excitement was to tell a story. And we actually had, they weren't scripted, but they were ideas to share success stories. And they were really all about that. And throughout the process, we had areas that were, we call them ho-hum crashers. So, all right, so back to your bottom line.
I know, was I trying to wrap up the story too quickly?
No, it just came to me. I hadn't thought of that. I haven't thought of that in a long time. We had a list of these things where ho-hum crashers were be prepared to share a story in these particular situations. And I thought PTC just did a really, really good job with that.
Awesome.
Okay, so bottom line.
All right, here we go, bottom line.
Stories are powerful to share experiences and create emotions by linking those experiences with stories. And we know that emotions attached to information are more, because the information is attached to the, you know, to the story which creates emotion, our brains recall it more efficiently. That's proven science. So we want to be purposeful with our stories. It's your job to make them relevant. Please hear me when I say that. You have to tell stories that are relevant. Don't be a bore. Bring the customer and the experience into the story. Bring the customer and their experience into the story. Allow them to tell their story. As a matter of fact, get them to tell their story. If your customer's not standing in their own moment of pain, they're less likely to create urgency about solving that problem. And then the last thing we haven't talked about, Rachel, and I figure I just put it in here in the bottom line. Stories don't work the same for everybody who hear them. It's your job to adjust your communication style. And I find that people who are more analytical, more process-oriented, they can be distracted by storytelling sometimes. And you can always tell, like, and I find it with in sales for me, it's when I'm talking to more technical-oriented people, more engineering mindset. And I'm not saying these are absolutes, but I just look for clues. And sometimes I say to people, I just call it out and I say, hey, I feel like maybe I'm distracting you with this story. And I just ask for feedback. Because if folks are trying to figure out where the facts and the data are, and your story is more about emotions, it's your job to adjust that. And Rachel, I think we're going to follow up. Let's do a future podcast about communication styles and, you know, why it's so important to really understand who you're speaking with. And therefore, you have to adjust your communication style. It's your responsibility. It's not the listeners or the customer's responsibility to adjust their communication style. It's your responsibility. So I think that's a good future podcast.
Love that. That's great. That's great. Lots here. And I know, like you said, John, it seems basic. It can seem very simple when we're talking about it, but in execution, that's where the power is. And you can differentiate yourself by prep and learning what's behind your proof points and doing all those steps we talked about today. So thank you for walking us through that.
My pleasure. Go get them.
Go get them. Hey, and all of you, this is the type of content that we are sharing regularly on our new online subscription platform, Ascender by Force Management. It's meant just for individual salespeople, no matter the company you work for. You don't have to be a Force Management client to get on there. And we're also have some plans for smaller teams. So go ahead and check it out, my.ascender.co. You'll find a lot of the same content that we are publishing here on the podcast on that platform. We've got courses, live chats, videos, podcasts. We got it all. Check it out. And thank you for listening to the Audible Ready Sales Podcast.
At Force Management, we're focused on transforming sales organizations into elite teams. Our proven methodologies deliver programs that build company alignment and fuel repeatable revenue growth. Give your teams the ability to execute the growth strategy at the point of sale. Our strength is our experience. The proof is in our results. Let's get started. Visit us at forcemanagement.com.